This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And off we go, my friends, into hour number two of the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one. Lonzo with you here on a beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous, amazing outstanding. I don't know if it's too damn early in the morning to know if it's all those things.
Plus, you don't know. It's dark out. It's good to be awake. It's good to be alive. Walking out into that crisp morning air will wake you up and make you go,
This is the real cold now, right? Like, this, it's not going to do that thing it did a couple of weeks ago where it got real cold for like 2 days and then I put on a quarter zip and then it was like, oh, no. Wrong decision.
There's no right answer. It's South Carolina, so I don't know. I mean, you can pull up your weather app or whatever and look ahead and maybe plan that way. I don't know.
Don't answer me with something that makes sense, dude. Don't answer me with something that makes sense.
I'm a science guy. I would think that, you know.
Listen, it's just.
I mean, it's not that accurate, but it's close. I'm talking about the weather app.
This is, you know what the concept of talking about weather serves one of two purposes. Purpose number one is it's just something to say to kill silence. Okay.
I'm just going to tell you, according to the weather app, it's 26 degrees outside right now.
I believe
and,
that.
And it's going to be cold all of this week. Next week, when we're coming to work, it's going to be in the 40s and 50s.
I can live with that.
So the answer would be no to your question. It's not like straight up 20s, 30s until March.
I can live with that. I can 100% deal with
like
the 40s and 50s.
That Mario got a bunch of things there.
Yeah, that's my bad. Forgot to put it on silent. That's a rookie mistake. Weather talk is meant to do one of two things. It is either meant to kill off an uncomfortable silence because you just don't have anything else to talk about, or number two, it's a way to complain to someone else.
There's a third thing that I think you're forgetting, that we are a morning show and people are getting ready to go to work and maybe they don't want to look at the weather app and wonder, you know, I mean, I hear our weather people, which do a good job, but maybe us just saying, hey, it was pretty cold this morning when I was coming in.
Well, I think I was talking about more like in your day-to-day life, right? Get off the air, we walk down the hallway, all the rock and roll and adult contemporary nerds are on the other side of the hallway, and you walk down there, and like, you know, if I'm meeting up with the fellas, I'd be like, hey, did y'all hear Jameis last night after he threw three interceptions, two of them taken back for six the other way? Did y'all hear Jameis's hilarious response to a question about the pick sixes? That's what I'd say to the boys, because I know the boys all did, and that's something to talk about. But if I walk down the hallway to the non-sports nerds on the other side of the building, and I don't have anything to talk to them about, but as Lonzo can attest, I'm not a big fan of silences when multiple people are together. It's just, it's not in my wheelhouse. If I go down there and talk to them, you know, you want to bring up something that people care about, right? And Mike Stathakis made a great point to me one time, because I asked him, we were sitting at his restaurant. And he said at one point that he was like, you know, I wanted to call in today because you guys were having a conversation about whatever it was, probably like Duke's mayonnaise. Like, what does Duke's mayonnaise go on? And the answer is everything. We were having a conversation about it. And he said, you know, I wanted to call in. I'm like, yo, bro, Why is it I can't get you to call in and talk about sports? Why is it I can't get you to call in and talk about, you know, soccer that you love so much, or baseball, or all these other things we talk about? And he's like, well, you know, you do this for a living, and I don't want to come on and have an opinion and have you slap it down and look like a clown. And I'm like, all right, it checks out. That makes sense. I said, but then why food? And he goes, think about it. Food is one of a very limited number of universal experiences. Everybody has to eat. It's not an option. There are three things primarily that everyone shares a mandatory involvement with: food, weather, and sleep. And I think that's it, right? We all have to sleep. We all have to eat. And no matter how hard we try, at some point,
water,
everybody has to go outside.
Including water in the food part.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, all right.
I think so.
Water's essential also.
I think so. I think everybody experiences those things. And so because you know everyone experiences those things, that's the easiest thing to lean on and bring up. I know if I say, cold outside, isn't it, that Fat Boy, who is a sports guy, not the right guy to use in this example, but, you know, if
he's also well insulated. I'm not sure that he feels cold.
If I'm walking down the hallway and one of the folks from the classic rock station walks by, and I know they're not a big sports guy, well, I don't know what else is going on in their life. So I can't be like, hey, how's the wife and kids? Oh, she died last week. I don't know, right? Like, I don't know.
See, I'm not trying to kill your analogy, but the only person...
Try to kill every analogy. Knock it off with the apology.
The only person in this building who's not a sports person, who doesn't know anything about sports at all, would be Chris.
There are people who...
You can go talk to Tara about sports, for sure. All her kids are playing sports, and she will talk to you about sports. Lee Rogers will talk to you about racing.
I know Lee will.
Yeah,
Lee and I talk about racing in the bathroom once a week.
I'm just telling.
All right.
I think your perception of people in the building is not a good
one. I think what's happening here is I was using an analogy to substitute in for every one of our listeners out there, and you're like, well, that wouldn't actually happen.
I just wanted you to be right. That's all.
I'm always right. You'll get used to that eventually. The point is, if I, a random employee of a random company, not Rob Brown of Odyssey and the Fan Upstate, were to walk down the hallway at my generic office doing my regular human job, and I was to go talk to a coworker who shall remain nameless and faceless and jobless in this example, and I was to talk to them, I wouldn't want to take a stab in the dark as to what's going on in their life or bring up an opinion that they might be opposed to. Because I'm not in a spot.
I figured it out.
What?
If you went downstairs and you would, because none of them know anything about sports.
The specifics of the hypothetical are important right now.
Because none of them know anything about sports. So you could have said you went downstairs, and then your analogy would have been perfect.
The specifics of the hypothetical are important. The concept here is that the weather's an easy go-to because everybody has to be outside. And if you're in a place, you know that person also got to that place, which means they were outside. That was it. That was literally the only point.
You're easily distracted today. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I'm going to stop.
Water cooler cheat sheet. I'm not letting you distract me again. The water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking about sports with the people that you know are sports fans. The people that aren't sports fans, talk to them about the weather. Or food. Item number one. Little Monday Night Football. The Denver Broncos are shockingly 8-5. And I do have to say, I think an apology is owed.
Yes. Yes, one is owed, for sure. From you.
That is what I was going to say.
Good.
Yeah.
A major apology from you, who just said you're never wrong.
An apology is owed to one Bo Knicks, a man that I referred to as Captain Checkdown, because I did not think that he was going to be able to accomplish anything in the NFL. Instead, last night, he goes out 18 of 35, 294 yards, a touchdown. Was picked off twice in the game. Let's not act like Bo Nix had a perfect game, but he did go for 294 and a tutty, a 93-yarder that honestly probably the Denver offense should have been dead to rights on that drive, backed up against their goal line. Instead, a combination of a couple of runs, an emergency escape, and a 93-yard tutty down the field to Marvin Mims Jr. broke the thing open. Jameis Winston, 497 yards and four touchdowns, and was also picked off three times. Two of them returned four touchdowns back the other way.
I thought you were going to apologize to the Denver coach.
No, I'm not.
Well, why not? Because you were wrong about the Denver coach.
Because Sean Payton isn't doing anything that is beyond the scope of any other NFL coach.
He got rid of an albatross, and now that albatross is gone.
Yeah, what's that albatross doing right now, by the way?
Yeah, what is he doing without that albatross?
What's that albatross doing?
That albatross went to a team that was already winning, and they took the starting quarterback out and put him in, and now he looks like he's shining, although the starting quarterback was already doing that. Justin Fields was doing that. I think you need to apologize to Sean Payton, who is doing a heck of a coaching job there with a rookie quarterback, and they're winning in Denver, something they haven't done in a while. Yeah, you're the hater.
No.
In this situation.
No.
You are.
No.
Just think of it's because of Dennis Allen, isn't it? Because if Sean Payton had stayed, you wouldn't have had Dennis Allen. And because of that, that's why you cannot acknowledge that he has done a good job this year in Denver.
I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. I'm not saying he's not doing a good job. What I'm saying is we all need to stop venerating this man like he's up there with the goats. He's not. He's good. He's a good coach. He's a fine coach. Mike Tomlin's doing a better job than Sean Payton right now.
You know what Sean Payton has done that Tomlin hasn't? Well, no, actually Tomlin has won a couple. Never mind. It took me a while. I got back to where I was. But anyway, Sean Payton has won the Super Bowl. Tomlin has won a couple Super Bowls.
Mike Tomlin's doing a better job than Sean Payton right now. Point here is...
No, he's got an easier job. Payton's got a more difficult job, and the fact that he's taking a rookie quarterback and doing what he's doing and doesn't have to deal with the diva who went to Pittsburgh and to sit back and watch Justin Fields win a bunch of games, then come in and act like, oh, look, it's me. It's all me, and it's not. It's
Justin
the team.
Fields won three games and didn't have 200 yards in any of them.
Dude. You need a check.
And it was like five.
I was going to say, you need,
not the point.
You need a check.
And even still, if you for a second look and think Justin Fields was outperforming Russell Wilson, you don't know ball. He's just not. He's just not.
You're right. Winning doesn't matter.
Russell Wilson's winning. First off, again, not a quarterback stat, but even if I let you use it as a quarterback stat, it's a dumb stat. Wilson's winning.
Just use it as a stat. The thing is, he's winning on a team that was already winning.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, so then you don't give Justin Fields credit for winning then?
I do give him credit
then
for winning.
Then Russell Wilson gets credit for winning.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
You're in it. He's like,
I don't know. Why are you getting angry? Why are you being distracted, man? Aren't we time for number two?
Jameis Winston, 497 yards, four touchdowns, but was also picked off three times, two of them for pick sixes, which was the difference in this football game. Item number two. Got a couple of bits of news out of the National Football League. Christian McCaffrey is likely done for the year, and there's a solid chunk of us that think the career of Christian McCaffrey is likely coming to an end as well. Announced yesterday that in that game out in the cold, would this have happened if they weren't playing in 17-degree snowy weather? I don't know, but I can't say no. Christian McCaffrey has a PCL injury that has sent him back to the injured reserve. It is expected that McCaffrey will be out for 6 weeks. The problem is the San Francisco 49ers likely aren't going to the playoffs this year. It is unfortunate. They are without a doubt the most injury-prone team in the league, and they also find themselves in dead last place of the NFC West. In fact, right now, only the Giants, Bears, Saints, and Panthers have a worse record in the NFC than the San Francisco 49ers. Here's the worst part. Not only is Run CMC on his way to the IR, but his backup, Jordan Mason, suffered a high ankle sprain in the exact same game.
All right. I looked it up because I was curious. I asked if there are more knee injuries in cold weather than there are in warm weather. And according to AI Overview, no, the risk of knee injuries in the NFL is lower in cold weather.
Cool. Ask it about soft tissue injuries.
Well, it's mentioning PCLs and that kind of stuff. So anyway, cold weather is better for knees.
Okay, no, it's not. It's not better for anything, including football.
I mean, AI is accurate, of course, and that's what it just said.
Jordan Mason also to the IR, which means that the San Francisco 49ers will be turning to rookie Isaac Guerrero and their backup practice squad running back to carry this team moving forward. In other injury news, Carolina Panthers are expected, according to Dave Canales, to get back a pair of offensive players this week. Rookie tight end Jatavion Sanders, who is fourth on the team in yards and receptions, will make his return this week. Remember, he suffered that nasty neck injury a while back. He is expected to return after missing last week. Jalen Coker, the young wide receiver that Rashad Beard and I both told you before the season, keep an eye on this young man because he's a baller. G. Jalen Coker is expected to return from a quadriceps injury this weekend, which just goes one step further in pointing out that, speaking of apologies owed, Bryce Young is owed a bunch of them, because not only did he go out there and do what he did this weekend and put his team in a position to win not once, not twice, but thrice and have the team fall out from underneath him, he did it without two of his most important targets in the football game. And finally, item number three. Shocking, I know, but the University of Alabama is now the odds-on favorite of the bubble teams to make it into the college football playoff. The Tide yesterday opened the day with odds of +105 to make it into the college football playoff. But somebody, somewhere, let the cat out of the bag yesterday, because by the end of the day, Alabama's odds fell from +105 to -200. They went from +105, making them a nearly 1-to-1 bet to make the college football playoff, to -200, meaning that you have to bet 200 to make 100 back. Alabama's going to the playoff this year. I'm at this point, I'm convinced. So at this point, if you're South Carolina, recognizing that, I think at this point, we just got to put together the list of teams that the Gamecocks are rooting for this conference championship weekend, because they need another spot to open up. Alabama has claimed one at this point. So is there another one available to the Gamecocks of South Carolina? We will talk about that. By the way, before we take a break, do want to tell you, head coach of the Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, will be joining us late next week. Couldn't do it this week because it is obviously signing day coming up tomorrow. We got to get into that a little bit. But I did talk to Steve Fink over at South Carolina yesterday, and Shane Beamer will talk to us late next week to recap the season and potentially talk a little playoff football. We'll find out. I will let you know when we officially get that interview on the books here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. You know we always do. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. On Tuesdays, we take a look around the landscape of football, college and professional. We pick out some folks that had some outstanding performances, and we hand out a trophy. And on the bottom of that trophy, it says, no, that's not the right one. Where's my... See, this is the problem that I have. Now I gotta go.
I believe in you. You got this.
My little software over here, it got rid of all my clips, and now I gotta reload all my clips, and now I gotta make... This is not okay. Well, we're just gonna have to say it, Lonzo. We're just gonna have to say it. That mother is not real.
Okay, you'll have to say that, because I'm not gonna say that.
I can be before you.
Yeah, well, I'm still not going to say that.
I got the power.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually over here, you know, doing that thing where I'm talking so you have time to find the clip.
I can find it.
That you're looking
for. It's buried in a folder of 1,000 clips.
You know, if you hit search?
No, I don't know what I called it. I don't remember what it's called.
Really? Yeah. You just didn't call it what you... I thought I did,
but it's not there in alphabetical order, so I don't know.
Just look up not real.
I looked up 3 different things. It didn't show up.
Okay.
It didn't show up, so I don't know what to say. What I do know is that we have some performances that stood out, some performances that we need to talk about from the college and professional ranks this weekend. So let us dive right into them. Looking around the landscape of collegiate football to hand out some TMFINR awards. We will do the same with the NFL coming up here in just a minute from right now. Let's go. Let's start it off and get this one out of the way so that Lonzo can feel better. Michigan 13, Ohio State 10. I didn't really know if anybody was going to be worth it. This was a pair of offenses that were, shall we say, lackadaisical? Is that a fair word? I think it probably is. Well, one of those names was Khalil Mullings, 32 carries, 116 yards, and a touchdown.
You're not going to play the fight clip, are you, from him?
No, I wanted to, though.
Okay.
All right. Wanted to. It may make an appearance either later today in the audio blitz or maybe tomorrow. The fun part about being off for 4 days is that I have so much sound that I want to play. And we just got to kind of get to it as it comes up this week. What I am going to say is Khalil Mullings absolutely did fight. 32 carries, 116 yards, average under 4 yards a carry, but 32 totes in a game when you are running into the heart of the Ohio State defense is impressive. Khalil Mullings, that is not real. Texas, 17-7 winners over the Aggies of Texas A&M. And no, it is not the sheriff of Fansville. Sorry, the deputy sheriff of Fansville that gets the TMFINR award. No, no, it is Quintrevion Wisner. 33 carries, 186 yards on the day, toting the rock to an average of nearly 6 yards per carry. Quintrevion Wisner is not real. It's not as much fun, man.
Maybe if you used a high-pitched voice.
That mother is not real.
So much better.
Nah, I hate it. I hate it. Syracuse downs the Miami Hurricanes 42-38, removing the Canes from the ACC championship game and potentially... probably removing the Canes from the national championship playoffs. Well, my. In a weekend where the Ohio State Buckeyes lost, their former quarterback, Kyle McCord, had himself a day. 26 of 36, 380 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Kyle McCord, that mother is not real. Tennessee, 36-23 winners over the Vanderbilt Commodores. I went a bunch of different directions, but who the hell else but Nico Amialava? I feel like I'm all over it. I swear to you I can say it in my head. Nico Amialava. I think that's it. I feel like I can say it in my head, but then when it's time for it to come out of my stupid mouth, my brain just misfires.
You have a history of pronouncing names correctly, so I'm
sure. I know, this
sure,
is the one that screwed me up.
I'm sure that's it.
I had DJ Uiagalelei down before anybody else did, but for some reason, Nico Iamaliava just escapes me. 18 of 26, 257 yards and 4 touchdowns. Let's just say Nico. That mother is not real. Indiana wins 66-0 over Purdue. It was the easiest cover bet in the history of college football. There was 0% chance that Indiana, needing style points after their loss to Ohio State, knowing that some teams are about to win some conference hardware, they were going to have to do something special. Where Curtis Rourke, a man that a lot of folks said he's kind of soft. You might want to sit him against Ohio State so he doesn't get hurt, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire adult life. All Curtis Rourke did, 23 of 31, 349, 6 touchdown passes. And we're going to double it up because Elijah Surratt, 8 grabs, 165 yards, and 2 touchdown passes. Surratt, Rourke, those mother are not real. Memphis knocks off Tulane 34-24. Yep, you heard me correct. A top 25 Tulane Green Wave team, 8-0, to drop their season to 9-3. And they did it because Mario Anderson Jr. ran 24 times for 177 yards and a touchdown, an average of 7.4 yards per carry.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. Mario Anderson Jr., that mother is not real. Colorado knocks off the OK State Cowboys 52-0. So who the hell do I give this to? Do I give it to Shador Sanders, 34 of 41, 438 yards, 5 touchdowns, 1 pick? Do I give it to LaJonte Wester, 11 grabs for 175 yards? Do I give it to Travis Hunter, 10 grabs, 116 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception mixed in as well?
Come on. You got to give it to the eventual Heisman Trophy winner, Travis Hunter.
He is the eventual Heisman Trophy winner. I cannot push back on that. For the record, I never did. I never did push back on Hunter himself. It was other guys that I didn't seem to believe in as much as many of you. But Travis Hunter, and you know what? We're going to say Hunter, Sanders, Wester, they're all catching them because those... Sorry, I did it wrong. Those mother... are not real. Georgia and Georgia Tech went to the wire. You got to do something special to catch a TMFINR award from the losing team. But Haynes King is that guy. 26 of 36, 303 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. He also ran the ball 24 times for 110 yards and 3 tutties on the ground. Haynes King, that mother is not real. And then we wrap it up with a guy that you knew was going to be on here. It was just a matter of when he was going to show up. 13 of 21, 164 yards, no touchdown and a pick. That's not a great stat line for a quarterback, but it looks a heck of a lot better when Lenoris Sellers adds 16 carries for 166 yards and 2 touchdowns, an average of 10.4 yards per carry for a quarterback, y'all. Lenoris Sellers, that mother is not real. There's your college football TMFINR awards for the weekend. We'll do our NFL ones later on in the show. Got a little bit behind because my pooter broke. So I'll try to get my pooter fixed over the next couple of segments. We'll do the NFL ones later coming up here in just a minute. What does South Carolina need to happen this weekend? There's nothing they can do. They've done all they can do. So what do they need to happen this weekend for the South Carolina Gamecocks to make it to the college football playoffs? I'll give you a couple of passes that might be in play when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Coming up here in just a little while from now, we have got a couple of tickets for you to go see Trans-Siberian Orchestra putting on what I have said a number of times in, well, last year when I saw them for the first time. That might be the most rock and roll show I've ever seen. Like, it is classic rock and roll, dude. Lasers, lights, smoke, and a couple of dudes on the old guitar that absolutely bleep and shred.
Some of them older guys, too. And they just, I just want to give you guys who are listening now just a heads up that it'll be about 8:15, 8:20 possibly when we give those away. I'm just saying. Possibly.
Maybe. Possibly.
Maybe. So
possibly.
You tune in around then, you probably got a better shot of winning the tickets. Just saying.
I would say be here if you want them. That would be my advice for sure. All right. So what is it going to take for South Carolina to get into the playoffs? There's nothing more that you can do to improve the resume at this point. There's you're done. Right? Regular season's cooked. Now, there's good news.
Does Clemson need to win? Because it makes the victory of South Carolina over Clemson. I don't know if some of you knew that or not, but South Carolina beat Clemson. Does them winning the ACC make that victory look better?
The question mark is not, I think, who wins. I think it's how they win. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm back and forth, because if Clemson wins over SMU, what South Carolina fans are rooting for, if the playoff matters more than consistency in your hate, if Clemson's going to win, you need them to beat the absolute dog snot out of SMU. You just do.
I don't think they're going to, but still, I mean, I'm just curious if that would help South Carolina.
The reality is, it doesn't really matter who wins, with the exception of SMU losing this game very close. I think that is the outcome South Carolina fans want to avoid the most. If SMU loses this game on like a Clemson walk-off field goal or something, right? Or comes down to the stretch and SMU drives down and they lose by missing a field goal. Whatever. If it comes down to the last spot and SMU loses close, that is an extra game that they will have played over a top 18 team. Keep in mind that the games that South Carolina has won that you guys are leaning on, oh, look, we got these ranked wins. And you do, and they're great, and you should be proud of them. They are also over teams that were ranked number 20. What was it? What was Vanderbilt? 23. Mizzou was 21, right? So for whatever that's worth, those ranked wins are kind of right there in line with SMU's, in this case, loss to a top 18 team. Could SMU drop from 8 down to like 11? And again, this is one of those spots where I've said before, we don't know what's going to happen because we've never done this before, at least not with this model. We have done it before with the 14 playoff. And obviously losing a game like this in the 14 playoff, SMU, if they were in the top four, would have been out of the top four with this L. But how much in a 12-team playoff, how much will teams be penalized for losing a conference championship game that they earned a berth in versus teams that do not play in their conference championship game and therefore can't lose a conference championship game? South Carolina might be the first team to find out. If SMU loses a close game to Clemson, I think there is the possibility that the committee might look and go, yep, South Carolina is playing the best football. They are one of the hottest teams in America. They have as many ranked teams, as many ranked wins as anybody else in the country, and they have stacked them up at the end of the year, and they have the best losses of anybody in the country. Both of the teams they lost to at the end of the year are still inside the top 15. You add in LSU as a loss, and again, I wonder how much not having Lenoris Sellers will impact the way that committee views that loss at all, if there is any impact at all. We'll see. They have three losses. One of those teams just dropped out of the AP top 25 for the very first time. The other two were inside the top 15. So if SMU loses this game, their second loss is on par with South Carolina's losses. Three-loss team inside the top 15. Top 18. That matters. If SMU gets blown out, or if Clemson loses game number four, because I do not think, even though I have said, I do not think a team should be punished for not playing in their conference or for losing a conference championship game, I am also fine with the thought that a team should not be punished for not playing in it. Right? If you play in it and you lose, I do not think you should be jumped by a team who didn't play in it. But what I think should and should not happen is not on the table right now. What we are discussing right now is what will happen when the committee meets next Monday after conference championship weekend takes place. So, I think you want any result other than SMU in a losing a close game. I think you can absolutely wholeheartedly root against Clemson. But I'm going to say this. If we get into the fourth quarter and Clemson is sitting on like a 7-point lead with 4 or 5 minutes left to play, you should root for them to go ahead and blow SMU's doors off down the stretch. Because if SMU is going to lose, it is going to take them getting mollywopped for the committee to go ahead and drop a two-loss Power 4 team that played in their conference championship game behind a three-loss Power 4 team that did not, even if that three-loss Power 4 team that did not is from the SEC. I think you are probably sitting on the verge there. We have got our playoff spots where today, Oregon is the one seed out of the Big 12. Texas is the two seed out of the SEC. SMU is the three seed out of the ACC. And Boise State is the four seed out of the Mountain West Conference. That would create a spot in which the winner of the Big 12 championship game kind of throws everything into a loop as well. You've got Iowa State. You've got Arizona State. Arizona State is currently a spot ahead of South Carolina. Iowa State is sitting down at number 16. This is going to be another spot where we ask the question, does the reward of playing in your conference championship game, how many spots is that worth, right? How many spots is that worth? Iowa State, Arizona State playing the Big 12 championship game. That game will take place on Saturday at noon. How does that shape up? My thought is, if you are South Carolina, you are hoping that Iowa State wins in a close game. Not enough to jettison them up past you, but enough that Arizona State falls out. Here's what I'm going to say. I don't think South Carolina's getting there. I want to. I would love for you to be there. If for no other reason, not because of fandom, for the record, I'm pulling for Clemson to win the ACC title game and get themselves in as well and replace SMU in that spot. Not because I'm a fan of either team, but because if those two teams are in the playoffs, Lonzo and I got a hell of a lot to talk about for the next 3 weeks of the year. And, you know, maybe we get out on some remotes, come out there amongst you, the people, and get to make a little extra money.
I want both teams to be in just so they could play each other and South Carolina could win again.
Could you imagine if you ended up with a Carolina-Clemson playoff game? That'd be electric, dude. Electric. So the problem is, despite the fact that I want them in, I don't think there is a path for the Gamecocks. I think you have too many things that have to break your way in order to get there. And you already at this point are aware. You already are aware at this point that Alabama's getting the nod over you, right? Like, you guys have accepted that. There's no coming back from that. And the fact is, and again, you know, I talk about the Vegas odds all the time. Part of the reason I talk about the Vegas odds all the time are because the Vegas people are connected. If somebody says something in Las Vegas, it gets to the people who set these numbers. Yesterday morning when we were doing the show, the Alabama Crimson Tide were plus 105 to make the playoff. Bet 100, get 105 back. This morning I checked the odds, they're minus 200. That is the complete opposite way. That means you got to bet 200 to win 100. That means they're, I'm not going to say lock, but a lock. Alabama's getting a spot. So whoever drops out, Arizona State, Boise State if they lose the Mountain West, potentially SMU if they lose the ACC, the teams that I think are guaranteed in right now. I think Oregon is guaranteed in even if they lose the Big Ten championship game. I think Texas is guaranteed in even if they lose the SEC championship game. I think Penn State is in even if they lose the Big Ten championship game. I think Notre Dame is in. They're not playing in a championship game, obviously, as they are not in a conference. But at 11-1 and number 4, they're not falling that far. I think Georgia is in. I think Tennessee is in. I think Ohio State is in. That gives me my, just what we have so far, my Big Ten champ between Oregon and Texas. It gives me my SEC champ between Texas and Georgia. It gives me Notre Dame, and it gives me all the rest of those teams. That's 7 teams in so far. We still have the ACC champion to get in. That is probably, well, not probably, it's either SMU or it's Clemson. I do not think the ACC runner-up is going. I think the ACC has fallen from 2 weeks ago having 5 teams down to 2, down to 1.
Even if it's SMU.
No, I don't think they're going.
If it's Clemson, I get it with all the losses.
If it's Clemson, definitely not. If it's SMU, I still don't think they're going because I think they're going to run into the issue with the branding. I mean, listen, they're behind Ohio State with 2 losses, Tennessee with 2 losses, Georgia with 2 losses already. And of the teams they're ahead of, they're only ahead of Indiana at 11-1 by like 70 points. They're ahead of Boise State by less than 100 points. Like, even if there's only a minor deduction for losing your conference championship game, and again, this is the AP poll, do what it's worth, I think they could drop down to 12th. Would SMU be ahead of South Carolina? Probably. So I don't even know if that's enough. I think that, and I honestly, that ends up in a spot where between the rest of the runners up and the rest of the at-large, I think South Carolina is going to end up being the first team out. I think you're the first team out. I think Clemson goes, we know Clemson goes only if they win. I think SMU might stay ahead of Clemson or South Carolina with just the 2 losses, but I'm not sure yet because, again, we haven't seen this yet. Texter said, I would rather off my first child than allow Clemson to win the ACC. That's dramatic. I like it. Texas said the playoff committee.
Why do you hate your kids so much?
Doesn't hate their kid, hates Clemson that much.
No, I know.
Their
but
hatred
still.
For Clemson is just greater than their love for their child. And let's be honest, I understand it.
I don't.
I get it. All right? Your hatred for Clemson deeper than your love for your kid.
I don't hate anyone or anything more
Lonzo,
than I love
it is
my kids.
A joke.
It's not.
It's a joke.
It's not.
Texas said, the playoff committee has shown strength of schedule. Doesn't matter. Just beat crappy teams and only lose to Northern Illinois and you're in. Hey, one loss. They do have some decent wins. Texas said A&M was 10 and USC has 4 wins over top 25 teams. How many does SMU? Again, one loss through a Power 5. They are still going to give you Power 4. Power 2, they're still going to give you credit for it. We'll keep talking about this.
All that is moot. I've not had a chance to say that because SMU is going to beat Clemson, and they're going to be in because they will have won the ACC.
They beat Clemson. It is absolutely smoot. They lose to Clemson. South Carolina finds themselves in trouble. We'll talk more about this as the show rolls on. Rob Brown, Lonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Wow, no intro. That's fine. The Denver Broncos are still in wild card position. I think he had to tinkle. After a 41-32 win over the Cleveland Browns last night, rookie quarterback Bo Nix completed 18 of 35 passes for 294 yards and a 93-yard touchdown. Denver defense picked off Jameis Winston 3 times and took 2 back to the house. Denver improves to 8-5. Carolina Panthers lost a heartbreaker to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday, but are expected to get some much-needed help this weekend when they travel to Philadelphia. Head coach Dave Canales said yesterday that rookie tight end Jatavion Sanders and rookie wide receiver Jalen Coker are both expected to be available. Tune in tomorrow at 6:30 as Furman Paladins take on the Florida Gulf Coast Eagles as Furman versus FGCU. Right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. The Fan. Upstate.